Hello, agents. Hello, trainers, keepers, pilots, eighth wallers, and our beloved explorers and wayfinders. Welcome to episode number 85 of the Wayspotters podcast. Wayspotters is brought to you by the good people at the Pokemon Professor Network. And today is Friday, September the 1st. I can't believe it's already September, but we're happy to be here with you. I am one of your hosts, Blame Jamal, and with me, as always, is my main man, Chris. How are you, man?
I'm good, buddy. How are you doing?
It's September, man. It's fall. It's almost spooky season. I can't believe this year is flying by like it is. I don't know. I can't believe it. It seems like just the other day, I was getting ready to go to the DR for the family summer vacation. And now we're getting ready to be drinking pumpkin spice lattes, and it's just kind of weird.
Yeah, it's September. It's just creeped up on us, and like we were in the GoHub Discord the other day. They were just like, "Hey, can you add September to the tracking?" And I was like, "It's not September yet. It can't be."
Right, it can't be. Well, yep.
Here we are.
Well, as we change seasons, everything changes. If you are a fan of Pokemon Go, today is the day that a new season has started, and that kind of is the theme for the show today, everybody. It's kind of like things are changing. It's a good time to go back and look at old things and make sure we have them right. We're going to talk about some rules. We're going to go over some more basic type things that, like, you should know, but you might not know, and some things may have changed. But, Chris, before we get there, I want to know this. How good is your Mandarin? I know your German's pretty good, but how good's your Mandarin?
I know zero words in Mandarin.
Okay, so you're not fluent in Chinese. Now, I ask this for a very specific reason. Now, I ask this because we have seen a huge response in Hong Kong. And I'm not sure why we're big in Hong Kong, but we are routinely in the top 20 in the video game category for podcasts in Hong Kong. I don't know why. We're huge in China. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to give a special shout out to our Hong Kong listeners. And I'm going to play this, and I want you to translate this for me. Okay, I'm going to play it
now.
All right. Did you get all that?
I caught none of that.
I saw you furiously follow along. I'm like, I thought he's got it all. So that is specifically for our Mandarin, Hong Kong, China listeners. If you heard that, there's instructions in there so you know what to do. And for those of you who don't speak Mandarin, we'll just keep moving on with the show. How about that? All right. Now, Chris, you've done such a good job playing along with my funny little movie quotes in Hamlet. And then last time it was Pulp Fiction. So I thought we did one more. So this is another one of my favorite movies. It's not my favorite movie like Pulp Fiction is, but this one is right up there.
What are you talking about? I think you've had one too many dirty dogs in New York City. What's the password?
New England clam chowder.
Is that the red or the white?
Oh, I can never remember that. White. Yes. All right. Now, again, you guys are probably very confused as to what's going on. So I know Chris likes to play along with this for sure with me, but that quote is from Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, one of the funniest movies. If you're an older guy like me, one of the funniest movies that you will ever see. There's so many quotes. I could quote that movie all day long. But the reason why I wanted to play this and how this plays into Wayfair is sometimes you think you know the password. Sometimes you think you know what you're doing, and it turns out you don't. Is the password New England clam chowder? It is, but is it red or white? And that translates, Chris, very well into Wayfair. We think we know what the rule is, but then there's a second rule that goes along with it. And if you don't have the second rule, you are way off base, right? You follow me so far?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But before we go there, let's hear from our friend Testone And I believe we have some Wayfarer news.
And now, the latest Niantic news from the Wayspotters podcast, presented by the Pokemon Professor Network.
I'm going to get one of them old newsy hats so I can put it on while I'm doing the news.
Yeah, absolutely.
Couple things. Roots. I know that's Pogo only, but I wanted to kind of touch base on this. The stats for the, if you've created a root, the stats for the number of times it's been walked is live in the game now. The first one that I made is up over 1,700 walks. It's been walked 1,700 times. Yeah. So that's 1,787.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's in the park where the main community day route is. So it gets walked multiple times every community day. So
nice.
And
that's gotta be the only feeling.
It's great. I love it. It's every time I go down there for community day, I see people doing it, they enjoy it. And every time somebody finds a Zygarde cell, everybody in the park knows. The only other thing I really have is Wayfarer was down for about 4 hours yesterday. We were kind of hoping to see some indication as to why, but so we have no idea. they haven't said anything publicly or to us about why it was down. So hopefully we see some fruits of the labor soon.
I was anxiously awaiting something big, right? Something big. I'm like, ooh. Then they sent out the tweet and they said, this is taking longer than expected. And I'm like, take all the time you need, player. Take all the time you need. Like, and then it came back. So, I mean, one can deduce that they were doing something on the back end that we will see at some point. I can speculate that they were probably setting something up that they've got like a local private server that can see it that the public can't. So, that's usually not a bad thing unless there was like a big hack, and we don't think there was a big hack. No. So hopefully this means good things in the future.
Yep, 100%. I think it was just they were loading stuff in the back end so they could test it in the actual Wayfarer environment rather than a tester environment. So, which is a good sign from the Wayfarer team. Means they're
fingers crossed.
Stuff. Fingers crossed.
Fingers. You know what? I have a hard time crossing my fingers without.
Interesting.
There, I did it. I just have never been able to cross my fingers. I can cross these two, go west side, but anyhow. That's a little something for our YouTube right now. You can see Jamal struggling to cross his fingers. So, Chris, I had two topics today, and I think they're pretty good topics, and I wanted to kind of jump into them. So, topic number one is something that I've seen on Twitter a couple different times. And also, I see it all the time on the Wayfarer Discussion Discord. And I think there's a little macro that runs when someone asks the question. And I've seen it on Reddit. And the question is, when do Wayspots show up in game? As people continue to progress in Ingress and Pokemon Go, they get eligible for Wayfarer. And coming out of the GoFest season, where we had our three GoFests, we had representation from the Wayfarer team at each one of the GoFests. They had a booth, and we were able to go by the booth, and we've talked about that. And some people are like, oh, Wayfarer. So then they start wayfinding. So, you know, it's rules. I forget. What are these rules? So each game has its own rules for when and where the POI will show up in its own specific game. So I'm going to go over some of the rules as I understand them as of today, September 1st. So if something changes tomorrow, don't kill me. And remember, this is always subject to change. So the fact that we're covering this means that it's probably going to change tomorrow. But I'm going to go over this, and then I'll read all three of these bullet points. And then, Chris, we can kind of go over and discuss it. But I want to read it right now. So here we go. Pokemon Go. The POI map is typically, historically, updated once per day. We commonly call this the sync. Historically, the cutoff time has been around noon or around 2 hours prior to the sync. All waypoints approved prior to the cutoff will become stops if they are eligible at about 1:50. Mm-hmm. Now, this has been known to be delayed sometimes around 30-ish minutes from the time of the sync. Right. And then Ingress now uses a daily sync. So before, Ingress had a system where it would be immediately added to the game board when a nomination was approved, which was really cool. But they wanted to get on a schedule like the other Niantic games. So this sync typically occurs around 6:15 p.m. and seems to be based on the UTC format. What's interesting is the cutoff time for Ingress is usually around 12:02 p.m. Now, could be 12, could be 12:01, but historically we've seen 12:02 p.m. Now, other Niantic games seem to follow a similar pattern to Pogo with their own cutoff times. And I just have to say this, because if I don't, I'll hear about it. Hashtag justice for Pikmin Bloom.
Justice for Pikmin Bloom.
Yep.
The fun thing about the sync, so if you are in the Wayfarer Discussion Discord, they have a channel called Clippy's Corner that you go in there and you type exclamation mark sync, it will tell you when the next cutoff and then when the next syncs are for Ingress and Pokemon Go. So that's cool.
Yes.
And I have to say, Testone in the Wayfarer Discussion Discord.
Yep, I was just going to say shout out to Testone. I received this information from Testone, so I believe it to be gospel. Because Testone knows what he's doing. So I got this information from him. So this is not necessarily verbatim from what Testone wrote. Little editorial edits and comments from me. But the bulk of it comes from Testone's brain power and knowledge. So, Chris, why is this important? Well, personally, I'm a geek, and I like to know when my POI is going to be born or spawned or whatever we're calling it. However, if you look at it, this is a frequently asked question a lot of places. I've seen it like two or three different platforms, and it's important for new wayfinders, new explorers to understand you've done your hard work, you've nominated, you've taken the picture, you've written your description, you've put it on Wayfarer, and now it's went into voting, you receive the email, what happens now? So
yeah,
that's kind of where we are. So that's why I think it's important for wayfinders to know kind of the fruits of their labor, when it's going to happen. And, you know, don't get discouraged if it doesn't show up right away. The email says it could take up to 48 hours for it to show up in Niantic games. And not always spots are going to show up in all games and blah, blah, blah. We know that. But this is for a little more technical knowledge for the Wayfinders on when something's going to happen. So that's, Chris, why I think this is important. And I don't think we've covered that this year. I think the last time we talked about sync times was like episode 10 or episode 11 or something like that.
Yeah, it was way before I joined, so it's been a hot minute, and it's probably changed since the last time you talked about it.
Probably.
Because the Pogo map used to sync from the Ingress map, so like it had to show up on the Portal map before it would show up in Pogo, but now everything just syncs off the Lightship map, which is probably a better way to do it, because Ingress doesn't necessarily get all of the portals now, so... because of the 20 major inclusion rule.
Exactly. And I know if possible, I like to be at my, especially if a gym is spawning, and if I can work it out with my work schedule, I try to be there if it's local when it spawns, so I can drop right in. And I have noticed, I don't know if you've noticed this, Chris, but new gyms, at least in my area, tend to spawn with a timer and an egg. I don't know if you've noticed that. I don't know if that's a thing or if that's just a coincidence.
Interesting. I haven't really paid much attention, because most of the gyms that I've created lately have been way far away from where I am. So,
right. Well, you know, like we talked about in the last couple of episodes, I'm really selfish. So I nominate a lot of things really close to my house or close to my work. And I've noticed the last three gyms that spawned that I was able to create hatched. Or they spawned, and then within 30 minutes to an hour, an egg popped up. And I thought that was really interesting, because I went back in to feed it a berry, and it's like, you know, a raid boss has taken over this gym, come back later. And I'm like, oh, that was... Then the second time I noticed it. Then the third time it happened, I'm like, very interesting. So there may be some things going on with Niantic that, you know, obviously they won't tell us, but I'm going to try to keep an eye on that when I see new gyms being born, to see if within that first hour a raid boss pops up. And, you know, maybe I might get you some research for an article you could write for GoHub.net.
Hey, that would be cool. You know, it wouldn't surprise me, now that you've mentioned it, if that is set up on purpose to draw people to a new gym, to say, hey, everyone, look at me, I'm a new gym. come interact with me, right? So it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. And the other thing with this is, I know that in our Discord, the Pokemon Professor Network, I know a lot of people when a new gym pops up or they get a new stop approved. I know Ken Pescatore put this in our channel not that long ago when he got a new stop approved at his work. He was like all pumped up and he's like,
"Yep."
But it didn't come in when I thought it was going to come in. And it's kind of like, you know, I was thinking, you know, I've seen this enough that we need to talk about this. Another thing, Chris, that we need to talk about is, oh my God, Sweet Summer Child. When people have a gym pop up and it's either not the gym that they wanted it to be,
yes,
or it's not in the place where they want it to be. And so they go on the forum and they try to get Niantic to move it or change the gym, and they don't understand why that may or may not happen. So we probably should talk about this just a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating when you're trying to set up a new gym and then you don't understand the rules behind what turns a stop into a gym versus what doesn't, and then all of a sudden you have a gym somewhere where it necessarily shouldn't be.
Right.
And I've had a couple of times when I'm doing reviews when someone's just like, "Hey, this is already a gym, but I don't want it to be a gym. Can you make it a Pokestop?" And I was like, "That's not how
Wayfair works. Like, that's not how Wayfair works." So, yeah, it's like I get what you're saying. However, it's it's not quite how that works. So,
no.
It's unfortunate that happens. And I mean, part of the thing is that I'm not really sure 100% if Niantic has made a change behind the scenes on how a gym becomes a gym. Because I remember before being an English agent, you would be able to go in and upvote certain Pokestops. And if they had the most votes in that cell, right, then when the next one came through to trigger the 2, the 6, or the 14, it would become the gym. But yep. I've noticed gyms being spawned that don't follow that procedure in my local area. Yeah. So I can't say with any kind of confidence that is still the rule. I believe it to be, but I'm sure someone will write in and say, you know, there was X, Y, or Z that happened, but I've had a couple that I wanted to become the gym and it didn't become the gym, and it definitely had the most votes on it. So I don't know if you've seen anything different in your area.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. So I remember that restaurant that took me a year and a half to get put into the game.
Yes,
it got put in as a gym. So like it was the brand newest spot, like stop in that cell, and it just became a gym. Like I don't know if Niantic felt bad for me because it took me so long to get it in. They were like, "Here, have a gym," or if it was brand, I don't know. But yeah, it was. Everybody in Plattsburgh was just kind of like, I'm confused. Cool. Congratulations. Right.
Yeah, cool. Chris. Yeah, yeah.
Tristan sent me, I think when he sent it to me in all caps, it's like, "It's a gym." And I was like, "Oh my God." Yeah, I don't know. Like even here, there's a couple times where I thought certain stops were going to be the gym and they weren't. Like when I went to Midland, I put in a bunch of stops in a row, right? Because there's a bunch of soccer fields, and when the soccer fields went in, two of them, it's two gyms, like right beside each other. So it was, and they were brand new to that cell. So I don't know
what's really weird. Is.
I wish we might prioritize parks, maybe.
Maybe. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah,
there wasn't anything else in that cell that was in a flagged park, so maybe it just picked the first two that popped up in the park. I don't know.
And you know, when you look at a neighborhood or a community, there's some things that just should be the gym. Like it just feels right. So I get what people are saying, that we wanted this to be the gym because it's in the middle of the park. It's literally the statue in the middle of the park. You and I had this same circumstance when we were in New York City and we were in Union Square Park.
Union Square, yep.
Beautiful, beautiful park, NYC. Shout out to New York. Union Square Park. But all the gyms were like across the street from the park at other POIs. And there was like this statue. I think it was a guy riding a horse or something. Or
yep.
and it would like make sense. Like everywhere else in the world, that is the gym, but there was just stops. So I can see people who, you know, aren't like grizzled, like, you know, disgruntled like us, who would write into Niantic and say, hey, this should be the gym. And it's just like, again, oh, you sweet summer child. Like, you know, yeah. Just hope springs eternal. It should be the gym. However, it's not. Why is it not? I can't tell you, or I won't tell you. It's just the rule that it's not the gym. And, you know, it can leave people with the kind of a bad taste in their mouth. Like, for the good of the community, this should be the gym. This is the mm-hmm. most accessible spot in the park. And, you know, you and I just looked at each other and chuckled, like, why is that the gym over there? Like, it's 50 meters away from the park. It's nowhere near anything. And it's just, and we know why. At the time, it was probably the second or the sixth POI that became one. And it's, I don't know, just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, it's frustrating when you see some areas that you're just like, that would make an absolutely amazing gym. And then you look over and it's like, oh, it's over there. There was one spot in when I lived in Belleville, the gym was at the end of like a dead end street that just had enough room for two cars. And it was like the worst spot for a gym. People would go down there and then they'd park. Everyone would just drive down there and they would do their little U-turn and they would park on the one side of the street to do their raid. And then people who lived there could barely get into their driveways.
Oh, yeah.
Just caused so many problems. And they come up and yell us all the time. And I emailed
That's a good way to get something removed.
Right. And so I emailed Niantic. I'm like, hey, can you like maybe move the gym from this stop to this stop? And they're just like, we can't remove anything. It's not blah, blah, blah. So I just... Next time we were down there, somebody came out and yelled at us, and then everyone left, and I stuck by, and I'm like, listen, here's the form, fill it out, send it to the company, they'll make it go away, right? But it had to come from a property owner who was right there.
Right, exactly.
And, like, it took a couple months, and then that stop disappeared, and the gym appeared somewhere else, and everyone was happy, right? So
right. And I wish there was a way. Now, here's the thing. The globe is, Earth is a big thing. Earth is huge, right? Yes. So if Niantic opened that up, then everybody would be like, I want this gym right here. I want it as close to my house or as close to my work as possible. So I understand why they don't entertain that, because they would literally have to hire a staff just to field the requests for that. So it makes sense.
What if, and I'm putting my brain on hat, what if they opened it up to Pogo players to submit it through Wayfair? And it went through just like regular voting, like a regular move. But instead of you're moving a stop, you're moving a gym. You're saying, hey, somebody has requested a gym move from this POI to this POI.
Right.
And then you could look at the map and say, and the street view, and you say, okay, this one is like in a dentist's office, and this one is in the middle of a park. Clearly you want the gym to be in the middle of the park, and then it would go into voting, and then people would vote on it. That way Niantic wouldn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. I hadn't thought of that. Lots of stuff that could potentially go on. Unfortunately, I've not spoken to anyone on the Pogo team. I've spoken to people on the Wayfair team, but it's just been about Wayfair stuff. So the Pogo team is usually pretty busy. And I don't know, maybe we can try to see if we can surface that with the Pogo team, and because they need to rework the gyms anyway. Like that's just a whole thing. So
yeah,
maybe they can get something holistic going for that. But anyhow, we don't want to turn this into a Pokemon Go discussion, so to speak. So speaking of my last point, justice for Pikmin Bloom, I want to play a voicemail that we received from Sarah Manda. And it was in reference to episode 83, I think it might have been, of Why Do You Wayfair? And she responded back to us. And if you would like to have your voicemail played on the show, you can always hit us up on Twitter. You can hit us up on the hotline, and we'll show all the contact ways at the end of the show. But I want to take a second here, and I want to play this voicemail from Sarah Manda about why she wayfares. You ready?
Yes.
Sarah Manda here. So Wayfair is like really easy and really hard. What I mean is the hardest thing about Wayfair is learning what you're supposed to do, and then it becomes pretty easy. Well, most of the time. early on, the going is really slow for me, but once I understood the criteria that you're looking for great places to explore, be social, or exercise, I started to see way spots everywhere. And I look around and it's like, that thing has been here for years and no one's nominated. And then there's this feeling that if I don't do it, that thing's just going to continue to not being nominated. So I have to do it. I have to nominate all the things. And there's so many things. I've been constantly using my Pogo and Ingress nom since I started, like over a year ago now. And so my nominations haven't been able to refill back up to 40. At first, upgrades were the carrot and the stick to get me into reviewing. But now I'm always reviewing, just because I know without reviewing, nothing will be moving through the system. At this point, I don't really need upgrades anymore. But I still use them like I have a hole in my pocket, because it'll get stuff on the game board sooner. And if I find that I do actually need an upgrade for something, I'll just review that much harder to get it ASAP. Peace, Sir Amanda.
Solid points.
Very solid points, except for Jamal needs upgrades. Jamal always needs upgrades. Give me your upgrades. Is there a way that we could like trade upgrades for Stardust? I've got more Stardust. I'll trade you for upgrades.
I would trade you my upgrades. I would give you my upgrades if I could.
Yeah, I'll give you 10 million Stardust for 10 upgrades. I think that's a fair trade.
God, I would love that.
Yeah, solid points from Sarah Amanda, though. What do you think about what she said?
Yeah, no, I think it's perfect. She's right. It's Wayfarer is easy and difficult at the same time. And I'm in the same boat. I nominate everything that I can, right? Like if I think it should be on the map, I throw it in, because you never know who's gonna use it, what's gonna use it. Like I'm big into Monster Hunter now, right now. And there's POIs all over the place, right? So right. And there's stuff that I'm pretty sure I've seen in that they're not in Pogo, right? So
dude, you are big into Monster Hunter. I remember when we were at the Airbnb in Queens, in Flushing, and we were playing Werewords. All right.
Werewords
is not an official sponsor of the podcast, but they can be if they want to. Just put it out there. But we were playing Werewords, and you and Sarah Amanda were having a deep discussion about Wayfarer. You guys were like all in it. She had her laptop, and I think there was a spreadsheet involved. And I was looking over there, and I'm like, wow. Then I turned back to you guys were like there's being in the rabbit hole, then there's being like under the rabbit hole, and that's where you guys were.
Yeah, she was showing me some really, really cool stuff that she's nominated. So it was really cool. It was nice. We had a good conversation. It was fun.
Yeah, that was cool. So, Sarah Amanda, thank you so much for the voicemail. Solid points. And that brings me to topic number two, you know, based on kind of what Sarah Amanda says. And it's kind of what I said earlier. Hope springs eternal, right? GoFest is over. It's kind of like the changing of the season. There's a new Pokemon season. It's like spring training if you're a baseball fan. When spring training hits, everybody's team is going to win the World Series, right? Everybody's got hope. Everybody's, you know, then when it's football season, like right now we're in the preseason, everybody's team is going to make the playoffs. Same in hockey, same in basketball. It's just that time of year where you're kind of refreshed, you're getting ready to start. And I kind of look at that with Niantic Games, and I kind of feel like after GoFest, I was at GoFest last year, and I kind of look back and reflect. This time of year was kind of like where everybody kind of took a deep breath, and we're ready to go. So I wanted to talk about that, Chris. So Wayfarer was down for a few hours on Thursday, and I think we were all hoping for some big changes with the maintenance. And this is the time of the year where I think Wayfarer is always onboards a lot of new people, right? You and I, when we were in New York, we saw countless people walk up to the Wayfarer tent and introduce themselves to Avocado and Tintino and Tib and everybody that was there, and Anna, introduce themselves and show their badge. And there was a lot of lower badges there, and there were some badges that were bigger than mine and bigger than yours. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, that's what Wayfarer is. That's how you do this. And so there's this kind of influx of new onboarding people. So I'm looking at it, Hope Springs Eternal. And that's why I kind of wanted to go back to the basics on how something appears in the game. And I wanted to talk a little bit about how to remain engaged in Wayfarer without getting overly frustrated. So this goes for if you are a new Wayfinder and a new explorer, or if you've been around like me since the days of OPR, there's just a couple of things that I think we all need to keep in mind in order to make your Wayfarer experience the best that we can be. So, Chris, give me a second. Don't start the timer, but give me a second, and I'll read. I'll read these, and then I want to kind of get your perspective on each one. Right. So the first one is: be patient. Give yourself time to review. Be ready to do a little bit of research on the nomination that you're viewing. Don't be afraid to have Google Translate open for nominations that are not in your native language. If you are in an area such as Europe, where there's multiple countries within a radius that you could see. Be on the lookout for abuse. Does it look funny? Does it look out of place? Or does it look too good to be true? Understand there will be coal, right? There's going to be coal. It's just part of the deal. Don't freak out. Don't rage quit. And then finally, well, not finally, penultimately, that's my big word for the day. Ooh. Try to put, it means second to last. Yes. Try to put yourself in the spot of the person who's nominating the POI, right? Try to put yourself in their shoes, try to hold their phone and kind of look at what they were doing. And then the last one is be positive and not toxic. And then I put LOL, because I don't know if that's possible. So, Chris, you want to start at the top and kind of give me your kind of expert analysis on what you think of the points that I've put forth.
So, 100%. Be patient, because sometimes it takes a long time for your nominations to get through, especially in certain areas. I'm lucky where I am right here. I get my resolutions fairly quickly. But like, I still have stuff that I put in the beginning of July in Midland that's still in queue, right? So that's going to take a while for that stuff to get through, right? And in order to help move stuff along, especially in your area, like if you have nominations that are kind of languishing, go in and do some reviews, right? And it's, you have to be patient with your reviews too, right? You have to sit there and look at everything with a critical eye. And make sure that you're doing everything correctly and applying your reviews to the rules, right? And it takes a while to do your reviews. So you need to kind of dedicate that time to Wayfarer.
I agree with that 100%. Now, be ready to do some research. Tell me your thoughts on that.
That's a big one. You can go out and just start nominating stuff willy-nilly, but you're better off if you're going out there and if you want to nominate a mural, try and find the name of the mural. Try and find out who painted the mural. Try and find out when the mural was painted, right? Same with any other art installation that's out in public. Try and find, you know, old buildings in your area. Google, you know, the history of your city. Try and find some old, like anything that's old, like historical. Big things with Wayfarer, right? And you might not necessarily be able to find them just walking around the street. Maybe there's a building downtown that's got a plaque in it that you didn't know about it, right? If you Google it, there you go, you found it. And it's the same thing goes with reviews too. Like if you come across a review and it says it's historical, don't be afraid to Google it. Don't be afraid to kind of look it up and say, hey, is this building actually historical, or are they just kind of saying that it is to get a house stop? Right. So research is huge. Like it's planning your S2 map too, right? We won't go too many details into that, but it's just plan where you're going to put stuff.
Now, Chris, there are some people in our Discord and in the Wayfarer discussion Discord that say, if you see a cool POI, just nominate it irregardless of what it should be. Now I get that, but I've covered this numerous times on this podcast that, again, I'm selfish and I kind of like, if I'm going to use my time to go out and nominate things, I'm going to nominate things that I can interact with in the future. Now, Monster Hunter for you is a perfect example. There's stuff all over the map that are would be considered quote unquote lightship only POIs. So I get that. But my guidance to people is do your research, understand, so you don't get yourself frustrated later on in the day. So you don't get frustrated that it doesn't show up. Understand that that is a potential possibility prior to nominating it. That will lessen your frustration later on.
Yep, absolutely. And there are times that that I go out and I see something and then I'll just nominate it on the spot and do my research later because I know that it's close enough to other things that it's not going to show up in Pogo and it's probably not going to show up in Ingress, right? Like I can tell that just by looking at the map without having to do any research. But if I come across something that's in what I think might be an open cell, I'll take my pictures and then I'll go do some more research and figure out where it fits on the map and can I squeeze it into an open cell without it being too far away, right? So it's that nuance that we talk about.
You know, at some point, we got to be careful about this, but we probably need to do an episode about the map, you know, this is us planning future episodes on the air. But I think if we stick to the Intel map, which is pretty safe, we can do it there. But for newer wayfinders who are just listening to the show. So the reason I keep bringing this up is Chris and I printed out business cards. Well, Ken printed out business cards. And I think over the GoFest, I handed out legit 50. Yeah, right there. I handed out legit 50 business cards to people who were like, oh, you do a podcast about Wayfair? I've heard of that. I don't know much about it. I'm like, here. I'm like, actually, get your phone out, scan that QR code, download it. And I had like 5 people download it, right? Just nice. Whether or not they went back and listened, I don't know, but I had them download it. So right. I'm like, listen to it. So we know that this could be the second or third podcast that you've ever listened to us on. And, you know, Lachlan and I in season one covered a lot of the beginning stuff. And Chris and I have covered a lot more complex things. But we want people to be able to pick up the podcast at any point and get something out of it. So if you were a longtime Wayfarer and you feel like, God, didn't you guys talk about this before? We might have. But these are things that are important. And the worst thing that can happen in Wayfair is you get people disenfranchised and you get people who just go in there and don't really know what they're doing. So we want to make sure it's good for everybody. So other thing, Chris, don't be afraid to have Google Translation open when you're doing your reviews for nominations not in your language. I think we all saw this with the Spanish and Indonesian challenges, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's I get them sometimes because I'm so close to Quebec. I get French nominations from Quebec all the time. So the shout out to Testone again and the plugins. I have the Google Translate plugin, so I just got to click a button and it translates everything for me. So that's definitely helpful. Yeah, I use it all the time.
That Testone's like a really handy guy, isn't he?
Yes, yes, he is.
In like a real world situation, he's like my mechanic who lives down the street. Like anything happens, he just walks over and fixes it on my car. Like you just love to have that guy around, like a modern day MacGyver. That's Testone when it comes to this. So, all right. So be on the lookout for abuse. We've covered this tons of times, but be on the lookout for abuse. Does it look funny? Does it look out of place? Or does it look too good to be true?
Yeah. And that's a big one too, right? Like if you're doing your reviews, you're gonna come across fake nominations. I guarantee it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If the photo looks too perfect, right click, search Google with the image. And if it comes up in the image search and it's exact same image, then it's fake.
Right. Yep.
And if use your street view, like if it looks like it's somewhere. And you go to Street View and it looks completely different, chances are that it's fake, right?
Right.
Yeah. And I get it. There's areas where there's new construction. And this is another tip for wayfinders. If you're in an area that's got new construction and it doesn't necessarily appear on Google Maps or Google Street View, put that in your supporting information.
Oh, 100%. Call it
out. Just say, hey, this isn't going to appear on Google Street View. This isn't going to appear on Google Maps. It's going to look like a giant empty field. There's new construction here. I get it. But if you don't mention it at all, I start to think that you're hiding something. Like, why wouldn't you?
Right, yeah. Why are you not telling me this?
So I get suspicious.
Right. I had this situation come up today, as a matter of fact. So Charlotte is like, they're digging holes and cutting down trees everywhere. They're, you know, every time it rains, a new townhome, you know, farm pops up. So down from my house, down by the freeway, they're building like 24 townhomes. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And I drove in there one day and I didn't see anything new to nominate. I'm like, maybe they'll have something in there to nominate. Didn't see anything. So I'm reviewing this morning, right? Earlier this morning, I'm reviewing and I noticed that there's a dog park tucked in the very back of this townhome, and someone nominated it. So I reached out on my local Discord, like, hey, is this yours? And the guy was like, no. And I'm like, ooh, we got somebody new working the area, which is really cool.
Nice.
So I have not driven in there, but when you look in Street View, it just shows not even like they're digging. It's just the forest, because the Street View is that old. Like, they started digging these townhomes probably like Christmas last year, and they're like almost done. But the Street View is from like last year, and it just looks like trees. So you would think, what the heck's going on with this? So I have local knowledge, but the nominator said new construction, townhomes just finished, dog park, great place to gather. And I'm like, okay, just like you said, it makes sense. But it's one of those things where I'm assuming they could have upgraded it. I don't know. But I saw it, and it just literally happens to be maybe 2 kilometers from my house. I mean, literally right down the street. So I'm like, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. But that is great. That's a great note for people, is to that's what the supporting information is for. It's to support your nomination. Yeah, I mean, literally, it's what it's for. Yeah.
People don't use it properly. And that's one of the big frustrations that I have.
Yep. All right. So next one. This is probably the biggest one. If you are not a hardcore Wayfinder, or even if you are a hardcore Wayfinder, understand there's going to be cold people. Just understand it. It's part of the deal. Don't freak out. Don't rage quit. You don't have to go on Twitter and Reddit. Although actually you do have to go on Twitter and Reddit, because that's a lot of places where I get my coal of the week. So scratch that part. Just don't freak out. Right. There's going to be coal. Yeah. Right. There's going to be coal. Yeah. And the reason there's going to be coal, for my estimation, Chris, is that there are some people that are trying to game the system, and there are some people that don't know that they're putting in coal. They think they're putting in a legitimate POI, and they have not been educated.
Yep. And that's the frustrating thing, right? It's, there are people who, they get into the system, they see things, I'm like, oh, I think that is cool. It should be a Pokestop, right? And it's not. Like, it's right. And then there's people who are just like, I'm just going to submit everything I possibly can around my house and hope that something sticks so I can get some stops.
Just flood the cell. That's what we used to call it. Flood the cell.
Hope you get lucky.
Yeah.
And then there are people who are 100% trying to game the system. So it's just, you one star and you move on.
Yep. So pack your patience. Understand there's going to be coal. Remember, judge everything fairly. If it's coal, it's coal. I had this morning, I was doing reviews, and I sent you two, Chris. I sent you one that was really good and one that was really bad. And they were like polar opposites of them. And like the ones that are really good, I'm like, and the ones that are really bad, it's like, no. Someone nominated a completely legitimate POI, and it said, come and take a rest and enjoy Pokemon. And it's like, why would you put the name of a game in there? You know? So, but just understand that's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. If everything was a good, legitimate nomination, Niantic would need us, the Wayfinders, to go through and kind of sort that out. So there's going to be coal. Just understand it. Everybody wants to log on and see good nominations, but understand there's going to be some bad stuff out there. And that's why we have Coal of the Week, so we can all have a cathartic laugh together and say, you know what? This is coal, and this is why it's coal. So I want to give a shout-out, Chris, real quick before you go over your thoughts on this. I want to give a shout-out to the GoCast podcast, Chris and Kyle, listening to their most recent episode. And if, by the way, if you're not listening to the GoCast podcast, go listen to them. They gave us a shout-out, and they specifically shouted out Coal of the Week, as people can use that as a learning tool to see kind of what is not eligible and don't do it. And he put it succinctly, like, I don't know if I could, but I just wanted to say thank you, Chris, for that. I know that everybody competes against each other, but I like to think that a rising tide raises all ships. And if one podcast does well, then we all do well. So I don't have a problem giving Chris a shout out. Thank you so much. So go listen to GoCast. They do excellent job at what they do, but he's right. That's why we do Coal of the Week.
Yeah, absolutely. And funny that you mentioned that. Starting next week, I've had this idea. I wanted to run this by you, so I'm going to do it live on the show.
All right.
I'm going to, when I do my reviews every week, I'm going to take a collection of all of the coal that I see that doesn't necessarily make it onto Coal of the Week, and I'm going to do a little short recording every week and just go through all the coal that I saw that week and maybe give some people some pointers and say, hey, this is why it's coal. So yeah, look forward to that.
I like that. Yes, week. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it when we program on the air, because then we have to hold ourselves accountable because people hear it.
I've been wanting to do this for like 3 weeks and I just haven't been able to do it. So I figure if I mention it on the show, people will be like, where is it? So
yeah, they're like, hey, you said it. Where is it?
Exactly. Yeah.
And then the penultimate one is try to put yourself in the spot of the person that nominated the POI. It's really funny because the one that I saw today, not the one I sent you, but the one that's down the street from the house, the supporting photo had the submitter's shadow and you could see them holding their phone. And that's kind of what made me think, like, put myself literally in their shoes. Like, I can, it's so close to the house, I could walk down there and stand in the spot that they took the picture from. But Chris, I'm a guy that looks to review to approve versus review to deny. So I really look at Street View and I want to say, okay, what is the submitter trying to tell me? If they didn't do a good job with their supporting information, I'm trying to infer what they're trying to tell me. So I'm trying to put myself in their position. So that's the guidance that I would give other people, is don't be the person to rush to one star, but just take a look at it and see, maybe this is a new person, maybe they're just learning. What are they trying to tell you? Is this a legitimate waste spot? What can you glean from that?
Yeah, 100%, right? Like, there's a reason that someone put that in. And people don't necessarily do a very good job of trying to sell their nomination to you a lot. And I get this comment on the Wayfair forum and Reddit all the time. It'd be like, oh, well, if you think this is eligible, you need to sell it to me. Like, no, I don't. I mean, I get it. Like, at some point, you need to be like, here's the history of this. Here's the blah, blah, blah. And, like, I shouldn't have to Google everything, but cut some people some slack.
Right?
Like, it's...
And at the end of the day, a statue is a statue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, I shouldn't have to sell you on the history of, like, a 200-year-old statue or, like, this church that's been here since 1702. Right. But there are people who are just like,
yeah,
oh, you put your supporting information is just the word church. You're lazy. One star. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No. Come on.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. And then finally, this is from Blame Jamal to everybody out there. Whether you're on the forums, whether you're on Twitter, whether you're on Reddit, whether you're responding to the podcast, whether you're on WDD. Try not to be toxic, right? Mm. Chris and I are both positive people. You know, we met for the first time in person in New York City, and it was just like I met my old buddy from high school again that I hadn't seen in a while. We are both very positive people. We have a critical eye, but we are both very positive people. And I know there are some people out there that are not positive people. But as a community, please try to be positive. And what spurred this on, Chris, did you take the most recent Wayfarer survey, the one that Trainer Jay sent out?
No, I didn't see that one.
Okay, I'll have to send it to you. The first question on there was, do you believe Wayfarer is do you believe the Wayfarer community is toxic? And I laughed, right? Because there's shades of gray. Is the Pokemon Go community toxic? Yes. 100% yes. I will equivocally say that. Is the Ingress community toxic? I'm going to say no. Because you have to, like, want to play Ingress. You can accidentally be good at Pokemon Go. You can't accidentally be good at Ingress. You have to, like, Ingress is like geometry and calculus and all these other things. And like, Pokemon Go is like just regular math, like counting money.
Yeah.
So I would say... And I could be naive, but I'm going to go on the limb and say I don't believe the Ingress community is toxic. I think the Pokemon Go community is toxic. And I think the Wayfarer community is somewhere in the middle, right? I think depending on the platform you're interacting with, it can be very toxic. Reddit is extremely toxic. Twitter can be toxic. Now, the Wayfarer discussion Discord is all a bunch of nerds like you and I. Yep. And people kind of have their own hills they're going to die on. But for the most part, I would say that the admins and the mods do a great job of policing that Discord. So I don't think I wouldn't consider the Wayfarer discussion Discord to be toxic at all. But Twitter, like, or X or whatever it's called, hella toxic. Reddit, super extra spicy, salty, toxic, you know. But if I could give anybody any advice, is we are all doing this for the love of each of the games that we play. And no one wants to be belittled and put down and screamed at and talked to in all caps. Be kind. Don't be toxic. So that's all I got on that.
A couple things. There are portions of the Ingress community that are absolutely toxic because you can chat in game, right? Like it's
right.
It gets ugly. But I think for the most part, you're right. It's Ingress is not necessarily toxic because people have to want to play Ingress. Whereas Pokemon Go, it's you can kind of pick it up and go. There are portions of the Wayfarer community that are toxic. I want to read you something that I posted this in our group chat yesterday, I think it was.
Okay. Yep.
From the Wayfarer forum, right? So it's funny that you mentioned toxic. So people said this is two lines that were literally right after each other in one post in the Wayfarer discussion Discord. People should not be voting if they have never seen handball courts in their life, period. Pathetic, period. Right? Toxic. The next line, the toxic nature of interactions within the Wayfarer community has led to frustration and demotivation among its members. But like, how can you be toxic and then literally in the next breath be like, people shouldn't be toxic? What are you? They got called out so many times for just those two lines. And there was like, that post he made was huge. It was like a lot of stuff in there, and people are just like, no, these two lines, no, buddy, really? No,
pull it out.
And it's just, you're going to come across toxic people wherever you go and kind of whatever. And there are gatekeepy people in Wayfarer who are absolutely toxic, but you're right. The Wayfarer, the forum, the Wayfarer, like official Wayfarer forum, they are very, very good about monitoring. Like somebody said something about removing fire hydrants, and then someone called them pathetic and say, yo, you shouldn't be trying to. And then Niantic Aaron was just like, and no. Stop, or I will kick your ass out of this forum.
Right.
I mean, that's not what he said verbatim. Like he was, but that's what he meant.
You kind of read through that. I saw that. Yeah,
he was very diplomatic with his answer, but it was shut the f up.
Right.
And exactly. But don't be toxic.
All right. Well, good talk. So I want to go to our funny news story of the week. So it's been a couple weeks since we've done this. So this funny news story of the week comes to us from Tucson, Arizona. Now, I don't know, Chris, did I send you the picture of what we're talking about? Did you see the picture? It's kind of a scary looking picture.
I think you sent it to me. Let me see if I can find
it. It's in the show notes if you don't have it. So while he's pulling that up, our funny news story comes to us from Tucson, Arizona. And I'll read it. Like a scene out of a horror movie, Michelle Lesbron returned to her Tucson, Arizona home to find a snake had set up camp in her toilet. Oh, and by the way, this story comes to us from the Associated Press. I want to make sure that I give them the right credit and all that so they don't like shut us down.
Yep.
All right. I had been gone for 4 days and was looking forward to using my own restroom in peace. I lifted up the lid and he or she was curled up, Lesbron said. Thank God the lid was closed. The hysterical encounter happened on July 15th, but Lesbron had been getting messages from family and friends, and even she went to high school with, since the Rattlesnake Solutions, a Phoenix-based company that removed the snake, recently posted the video. So what you're seeing here is a video. And Chris, are you able to get the picture that is from the show notes? Can you pull that up possibly? Because I want YouTube to see just exactly what this lady had to deal with. It is incredible. So there's a 20-second video, and I'm going to post this in the show notes. There's a 20-second video that shows the snake being pulled out of the toilet bowl and then hissing straight at the camera. And that's the picture that I have that I wanted YouTube to see. So here is the picture right here. YouTube, you guys are going to scream when you see this. So look at that. How terrifying is that? What, for the audio listeners, it's a snake handler holding a snake. It's a rattlesnake that has just come out of the toilet. And this snake is like full on, mouth wide open, like hissing right at the snake handler. So to continue on, it took the snake handler, who LeBron calls my hero, three tries to get the black and pink coach whip snake firmly in the grasp. He was able to wrestle the snake with one hand while capturing it all on his cell phone with the other. The handler later released the snake, which measured between 3 feet and 4 feet, approximately 1 to 1.2 meters long, into a natural habitat elsewhere. Brian Hughes, the owner of Rattlesnake Solutions, says it wasn't the first time that his staff had seen a coach whip snake in a home, although it's rare to find reptiles that live in residences. After her run-in, she used her guest bathroom for 3 weeks before feeling comfortable enough to go back in her own, and she no longer enters her bathroom in the dark. And she always makes sure that she lifts the lid ever so slowly. So that is our funny news story of the week.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know how funny it is.
Yeah, but shout out to Arizona. So if we ever have a GoFest or something in Phoenix, we're going to have to make sure we check those bathrooms.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's no, thank you.
Yep. All right, with that, we're going to go ahead and roll the break. Yeah. That's not good, man. Did you see the look on that snake's face? It was mad.
That was mad.
That thing was hot. That thing was mad. He was like, what are you doing? I'm chilling here. Yeah. All right. So we'll go ahead and roll to break, and we will be back on the other side. Hopefully you enjoyed the dad jokes this week, and we will see you in just a couple seconds.
Hi, this is Chandler Mystic, and you are listening to the Wayspotters Podcast. Bum, 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 bum.
Hi, this is Wonksen from Iowa, and you are listening to Wayspotters.
Good morning, this is Agent X, doing my favorite thing that I like to do on a Sunday morning, and that's listen to the Wayspotters Podcast while out exploring the world and finding new points of interest.
Ugh, get some better jokes already, it's season two.
How do you catch a squirrel? Climb up the tree, act like a nut. Why don't skeletons fight each other? They don't have the guts. What's the difference between a man's wallet before kids and after kids? The pictures is where the money used to be. Stop looking for the perfect match. Use a lighter. I'm writing a book about glue. It's good, but I'm stuck on the first chapter. I wish my kids were not so offended by my Frozen jokes. They really need to let it go, let it go. Why did the orange lose the race? Ran out of juice. All right, everybody, welcome back. And thank you for listening to the dad jokes. Hopefully you enjoy them this week. As always, I think they're funny, but then again, I put them together. So we want to jump right into Wayspot of the Week. And this is a gorgeous Wayspot, to use Chris's word. This is a gorgeous Wayspot. And I want to give a little bit of background on this one, on this Wayspot of the Week. So Chris and I saw this when we were in New York City and we were walking around Union Square Park. It's called Metronome, created by Kristen Jones and Andrew Gensel, including segments such as the Infinity, the Source, and the Relic, and the Passage serves as a clock, both counting down and counting up the last midnight and counting down to the next midnight. So what you kind of see on the left here, if you're watching on YouTube or if you're watching this short, is there's a clock with numbers that are counting. And when we first looked at it, we didn't know what the numbers were. But this Wayspot is just absolutely gorgeous. This actually is the gym that should be in the park, but I think this can suffice for that. So I don't know, Chris, when I saw this, I was struck by it. I don't know if you have thoughts on this Wayspot of the Week.
Yeah, it's beautiful. We were kind of walking around and both of us kind of looked up at the same time and we're just like, holy crap, that's amazing. Yeah. And then we walked away. We had no idea what that clock was. So right. It's actually got a pretty interesting story behind it.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, I was very intrigued, and so I went and I looked on the Wayfarer map, and I found it, and I got the description, and shout out to the Wayfarer app. I would not have been able to get all this without it, so just a great picture. And this was actually one of the pictures that was located inside of Pokemon Go that I copied it from here. So just a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous waste spot of the week. So shout out to, you know what? I had the person who nominated it, but I don't have it here. So we'll maybe give them credit on Twitter, but just really good stuff. So really good waste spot of the week. Now let's get into something that we would not consider to be a good waste spot. Let's go to Call of the Week.
I've been working on the Wayfarer all the livelong day. I've been working on the Wayfarer just to pass the... Oh no. Hey Jamal, I found some coal.
All right, Call of the Week number one. I'm going to take this one, Chris. So this one comes to us from friend of the show, Bozo Dad, who, by the way, guys, Bozo Dad is prolific in sending us Call of the Week through our email, wayspotters@pokemonprofessor.com. Always, just about every week, Bozo Dad sends us in a good one. So I literally, we could have him on in the Call of the Week segment every week. And we've got some more from Bozo Dad that we're going to talk about later on in future episodes. But this one here is great. I love this one. And for those of you who are not watching on YouTube, it's called Cell Tower at Columbus City Park. That's right. A cell tower, right? Nestled in the woods at Columbus City Park is a cell phone tower serving the area. I'm like, what? And I'm just like, that's not how this works. And the supporting information is, I don't usually submit cell phone towers for consideration, even though they are a category, but there is no gym on this side of the park and it would be great to have one. Okay, you sweet summer child. There's just so many things wrong with that. So I don't normally submit cell phone towers. Now, just because it's a category in the breakdown doesn't mean it's eligible. It's literally a list of things that are in the world. Just because it's in that list doesn't mean you could nominate it. So this is a person, I just want to walk up to him and give him a hug, but then like sit him down and explain to him how this works. So I don't know if you have thoughts on this, Chris.
If you're watching the YouTube video, you can see the exact moment that I read the supporting information while Jamal was introducing this. Like, I just kind of went, oh. It's first of all, that's not how Wayfarer works.
No.
And second of all, this it's not even eligible. So
yeah. God. Yep. It's Call of the Week. I got nothing. Call of the Week. All right. You want to do Call of the Week number two? I'm gonna let you take this one.
Call of the Week number two comes to us from Xander, Lasso Boss in the Pokemon Professor Network Discord. It is a yellow school bus.
Wait, hold on. Remember, we met Xander walking down the street.
That's right.
Right where like Harlem turned into New York, right by Central Park. We were walking and we walked right by Xander and Xander shouted us out. They were like, hey, what's up?
That's right. So, hey, we saw you in New York. You're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. All right. Continue. So, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you
off. No. That's good. It's a bus. It's a yellow school bus. The title is Bus Top. Like there's it's Bus Top. The description is kids get on the bus.
I'm crying.
The supporting information is lot Pokemon trainer walk by and want it to use it. First of all, it's temporary. It's temporary. That school bus isn't there forever. Right. Can you consider this K-12? I think this is, you could probably reject this K-12 because it's,
I think you could. Yeah.
It's a school bus.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. I know I say, hey, it's not that far. Get out of your car. But I didn't mean get out of your school bus and then take a picture of the school bus and then nominate the school bus. It's not.
I've laughed over this every time I've looked at it, and I was hoping to get it out of my system so I wouldn't just laugh the whole time you're reading it. But I mean, just when you read it word for word, it makes no sense. I have no idea what I'm looking at here. Like no
I don't get it.
It's so good. It's just so good. But you know what? Xander gets us. They get us.
Yes. Yeah. It's not Xander often that a cold of the week is so bad that we're both speechless, but
here we are. Yep. All right. You got anything else, Chris?
I have. Wow. I lost it. Give me 1 second. There was. Every time we talk about the Wayfarer plugins and we shout out Testone, he mentions that there's another individual that helps a lot with the and I wanted to shout them out. Albert Toby. He's the other person who was big with the plugins. So I wanted to make sure we're giving credit to the both of them.
Yes, yes, 100%. 100%. Thank you. Love the plugins. And if you are going through our catalog on YouTube, it's a YouTube exclusive. Testone and I sat down and went over the plugins. So please go and find that and like, share, subscribe, and all of that. Yeah, right what he's doing. Right. Yeah.
I'll put a link to that episode up there.
Yeah. Awesome. Sweet. Well, Chris, I will go ahead and sign us off. Great episode, man. Thanks for this. And I want to say thank you to our executive producer, Kate DeConte. Continue to send messages in the middle of the night, and you and Chris will have a conversation. And then I will come in later on without context and just add a whole bunch of stuff. But Kate DeConte gives us a lot of really good ideas for shows, as an executive producer would do. So we appreciate you, Kate. You rock. And all of our patrons. It was so good, I'll say it again, to meet people that I hadn't met and to see people that I hadn't seen. And I've been thinking about this for a week. The one person that I did, or the two people that I did not shout out and I knew I was going to miss somebody, Mythical Hitch and Stephanie. I missed you guys. I don't know how I missed you, but like, you guys rock. Like, we go back to Philly. So I got to make sure I shout out Mythical Hitch. I missed him. He's just an OG when it comes to this. So, but thank you guys for listening to this episode of Wayspotters. If you enjoyed what you heard, there's a couple of ways that you can show us. So the first one is you can follow us on our Twitter or X or whatever the heck we're calling it, at Wayspotters. We like to say we are incredibly responsive and we try to get back to people just as soon as they get to us. The other way that you can follow us is on Instagram. We have an IG and we're using it now because we figured out the password issue so we can log in to our own Instagram. That's why we weren't posting. We had the password. But in New York, we reset the password. So now we're back up and rolling on Instagram. The other one is TikTok. And you guys, if you are listening and watching this, you guys are very familiar with our TikTok. And we super appreciate you because you guys blow up our TikTok all the time. And it is incredibly humbling how many people watch us on TikTok. So we appreciate it. And secondarily, you can also reach us on our website. So we have a website. It's www.wayspotters.com. From there, you can get links to everywhere you can download the show. You can also send us a message directly from the website, or you can send us an email like Bozo Dad did and Sarah Amanda does at wayspotters@pokemonprofessor.com. So some of you, and a lot of you, I shouldn't even say some anymore, Chris, it's a lot of you, are watching us on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@wayspotters.com. Thank you, guys. There are some of you that as soon as the episode drops, you are sending us feedback and messages on the YouTube, and we greatly appreciate you watching and your support. So if you're not watching and you're listening to this on audio, go over to youtube.com/@wayspotterspodcast. And for anyone who wants to dial an American phone number, you can dial 704-426-3710 and leave us a voicemail on our hotline. You never know, your voicemail may appear on an upcoming episode of the show, or you can tweet us a voicemail. Now, one thing, Chris, that we haven't talked about a lot recently that I want to say here before we sign off, if you are listening to this on Google, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher went away, iHeartMedia, leave us a review.
seriously, 5 stars are the best stars. They really help the algorithm for people to find our show. There's a lot of people that have left us just a numerical number review, and that's great. Keep that up. We love all the 5-star reviews. But if you are on Apple Podcasts, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, you can actually go and write us a review. And Chris and I have committed that if we see a brand new review, we'll read it on the air. Whether it's good or it's bad, we want to hear all. We want to hear everything. If you've got some constructive feedback or things we want to do better, we want to get better. So do that. I know we don't say that every week, but please go and leave us a review. And if it's on Apple, you can write us a review. Spotify, for whatever reason, won't let you do a written review. Google, I believe you can. So go and do that. So finally, and then we'll let you get back to your Sunday. If you're not a member of the Pokemon Professor Network, you can join for as little as $1 US. We've got a graphic that we're going to use next week. Yes. Chris, do you have the graphic now, or do you want to do that next week? Show them the graphic.
We'll do it next week. I don't have it loaded
up. We'll do it next week. Yeah. So we have a graphic that is a bunch of different countries around the world and what the conversion rates are. So it's like $1.36 Canadian, $1.54 in Australian. We've got the conversions to pesos, the conversions to the Chinese dollar. But if you are not a member of the Pokemon Professor Network, please join. It's really a cool little place. It's a fantastic place filled with fantastic people. And these are all the people that we hang with when we go to remote events. You'll get the inside track on how to get a spot in the Airbnb and just kind of hang out with myself and Chris and Adam and Justin and Ken and everybody else from the Pokemon Professor Network. And we'd love to have you in there. Chris and I are in our Discord all the time if you want to chat with us. Also, one of the biggest perks of being a member of the Pokemon Professor Network is every Monday at 9 o'clock Eastern time. I don't know what that is, UTC, but 9 o'clock Eastern time, PM, we have a Zoom call where everyone who's a patron can join the Zoom call, and all of the hosts of all the podcasts are on there and all the patrons. And we just chew the fat, you know, shoot the breeze and just have a good time for about an hour. We talk about Pokemon. We talk about Wayfair. We talk about TCG. We talk about VGC. We do live PvP battles. It's just a really good time, very kickback and laid back. And it's just kind of a good thing to do. So, like I said, you have access to the Discord for the entire family of shows across the Pokemon Professor Network, including Wastebotters, Special Conditions, Gotta Watch Them All, Purified Podcast, and Lured Up. It's a fantastic place filled with fantastic people. And with that, we look forward to you listening to us again, Wastebotters, again next week. And remember, hey, what's a few meters between friends, right?
Absolutely. We'll be right back.